Okay, good morning, Morro Bay, and Happy New Year. As we're starting this meeting, I see our chair running in through the back door, Charlie Yates. So I'll stall one moment for him.
No, you just want to make an
entrance.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, establish a quorum.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing? Good to see you. Sorry for the tardy party. Good morning, everybody. Sounds like we've established a quorum. Now we're ready to have a moment of silence. Thank you. Thank you. I needed that too. Can we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to open with board announcements, please. Hi.
Can I announce? I have just a couple of these are kind of very local announcements. First of all, happy Lunar New Year to everyone. And then I just want to let everyone know in the community, in case they're interested in the high school, that the Morro Bay High School basketball team has won 9 games in a row and is number one in league. So come out to the Morro Bay High School basketball games and support your local team. We don't have any professional sports teams here in the county. So we try and support our local high school teams. That's that. So thank you.
Boys basketball?
Yes, boys basketball. And the games are online on the high school website. And you can Google Morro Bay High School and then go to the sports section and click on boys basketball. And you'll see where the home games are at. And they're Tuesdays and Fridays.
Any other announcements from the board? Seeing none. Staff announcements. Jennifer.
Good morning, board. I have a couple quick announcements. City Council did their review of the new applications for TBID. We had 3 people apply for the vacation rental seat, and they approved Terry Ennis. She owns a vacation rental and a home, and her husband also owns a local business, an air conditioning business in town. So she will be joining us in February, which is very exciting. And then Chris Kosteka got reappointed. He had taken a midterm seat before, and so he graciously has decided to join us again for another term, which is fantastic. And he was a good sport because he was the very last one on the whole meeting, so he had to wait the whole time. So thank you, Chris, for that. Also, as far as introducing vacation rentals into the bid, I just wanted to give you a quick update on where we stand on that. We did send out our first press release on them, and Megan will dive a little deeper into that, but that did go out to be January 1 as soon as they got into the bid. We did that, and we're working on putting out a formal letter to all of the owners to find out if they want to opt in or out to be on the morrobay.org. I was waiting until we had an appointed seat on the board before we did that, so that we're really, you know, working in conjunction with that seat. And then the last thing I was going to mention is I was approached by Live Oak Music Festival, which is in June. It's in late June at the park, you know, by Cuesta College. And it is all about camping there, and the county has given them the ability this year to sell 1,900 day tickets, so people can actually now come from a hotel or if they live locally and actually have a ticket into the music festival. They don't just have to camp, and so they approached me about, could Morro Bay be the home of the musicians, and we house all the musicians here, which is kind of a nice way to talk people into staying here. So I'm taking a look at that. I don't know. It falls outside of, you know, our complete comfort zone because it is in June, but I do want to look at that, and I'll be updating you as we move. But just want you to know that's kind of exciting, interesting twist on that. Okay, that's all my announcements.
Yeah, well, Live Oak is really a difficult move from the Live Oak camp, and yeah, they suffered. So I know that KCBX would be really happy to partner and make it a much better event.
For
here.
Sure.
So cool. I'd like to now open the floor up to any public comment.
you. Hi, I'm Janice Peters, Morro Bay, and I'm here representing By the Sea Productions, Morro Bay's live theater company. We are opening our fourth season. Yay, that's kind of exciting. We didn't know if we could make it or not, and we have. And we're getting larger and larger audiences, and we're getting some sold-out shows, which is really exciting. You each have our season arrangement here on a rack card. And we are distributing these to all the hotels this coming week so that they will be available. And then each show, we distribute some smaller flyers, which you also have in front of you, to the hotels as well to hand out to their guests. And then we put the bigger flyer in the windows of as many restaurants and stores as allow us to do that. And just a shout out to how many are allowing us to do that. It's a wonderful way to get the word out to our visitors who don't really necessarily read the paper or know what they're reading. And so they see those flyers and they do come to the shows. We get a lot of people from out of town at our shows because what are you going to do at night? So that's exciting too. Our opening show is The Odd Couple, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with. And I saw the rehearsal last night. It's going really well. It opens next Friday and plays for a month. We play on weekends, Friday and Saturday at 7 and Sundays at 3 at 545 Shasta Avenue, which is the St. Peter's Episcopal, St. Peter's by the Sea Episcopal Church. I also want to thank the city because we were one of their community grant award recipients. And so what we are doing with that grant is applying it as a sponsorship for Murder on the Orient Express. This show is an Agatha Christie classic. It's not been a play until this year. It's been a movie. And so we are kind of excited to be the first one in the area to ever do this play. So that's the one that we're going to have the city sponsor, and we're going to promote it as that, as sponsored by the city. So we really appreciate that cooperation and support from the city. So please come and see us. Thank you very much. Any questions?
What a great community event. Just so we can let our guests know, what is the cost to attend?
Oh, the tickets are $20 for adults and $15 for students.
Wonderful.
And you
Thank
can get
you.
Them online or on the, you can call our own reservation line, which is me. And I'll be happy to get you a reservation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Floor is open for any further public comment. Sure.
I didn't get a chance, but I wanted to say, I love the idea of Live Oak. And I just glanced back at our TOT report, which has last year's June in it. And June was at 77%. So there's still room to put pressure on June for you hoteliers on the board and those vacation rental folks out there. So, and I don't think we don't have a way of tracking occupancy for vacation rentals. So we don't know yet what kind of compression the marketing and types of partnerships can put on them, but I think Live Oak could be really interesting. I can't wait to see what you can do with it. Yeah. So thank you.
Thanks, Joan. Okay, we're moving on to item A, consent agenda. Have we all had a chance to review the November TBID board minutes? Are there any changes, corrections? I know you and me, I got to kill my phone too.
Charlie, I'd make a motion to approve the November minutes.
Any further comment? Nope. Seeing none, calling a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Moving on. Next item. We're all having this problem today. I think I'm going to need to make an announcement for myself next time I start this meeting. Jennifer, TOT report.
So TOT is on consent, but we can talk about it. It's not a problem at all. So I just want to mention something on the October. October, you know, it held okay. If you look countywide, county is fairly flat. It's not doing much of anything, which we had heard about. You know, there's a lot of rooms coming into the market countywide, which is definitely a challenge. One of the things that I wanted to point out was we did have our wine offer, and we had quite a bit of redemption. We had 663 total redemption for the wine offer. I think that that is a complicated process going into adding VRs, and so maybe in March or April we need to relook at that ahead of budget and make a decision if we want to do that next year or take it off the books. My thought was to take it off the books because I'm not sure how we'd service the VRs, but we can look at the numbers, and if you feel strongly about it, we can figure out a way to work through it. So I'll bring it back to you guys in either March or April, and we'll talk through those parts of it, okay? Is there any questions I can answer on October TOT?
Jen, are you reviewing both October and November?
Yes.
Okay, so
we can go through November too. Do you have any questions on November?
Well, I'm going to just look at it again. I'll ask my questions after. Mm-hmm.
So looking at November, triathlon ran really well. They had their highest attendance ever. It's a Sunday event, but still overall occupancy was down 3%. So we really need to find a way to bolster November up a little more. We did have quite a bit of rain. I'm sorry it's not noted on the market factors, the rain, but we did have quite a bit of rain, and there was complications with going into the boat parade. You know, at the beginning of December, there was a lot of just chatter and discussion about is it moving, is it not moving. People, I think we're having problems with reservations at the end of November, unfortunately, due to that. So I have been having some conversations with Rotary on a better way to maybe see if we can better the boat parade and not have less problems maybe next year with occupancy. So we're working on that. But I would like to find another way to bolster November up a little more. I think we need something else going on in there. Give us a little better bolster.
Jen, could you, I know you've talked about this before, but I can't remember. Can you talk a little bit about the drop in Jackrabbit leads?
You know, we don't have an answer on that, Nancy, and they're trying to work through that and find mm-hmm. out why. Mm-hmm. It's happened since we moved over to Simpleview, and Simpleview owns Jackrabbit, so it should be yeah. seamless. It should not be an issue, but they are trying to figure out why that is.
Okay.
We did have significant reduction in direct bookings. And since Megan went in and changed our booking widget, now it follows you through our pages. I don't know if you've been on the site in the last, has it been 30 days, 45 days that we've changed that? And it's made a difference. We are definitely seeing more direct bookings through there. And we used to have that on the old site. We had a booking widget that I put on when I first started that would just follow you. And it's kind of annoying, but it's bright orange and can't miss it. So I think that's helping. I can't imagine it's helping that much, but we've seen a significant change in the direct booking since we added that. So that's good. Yeah. Yes.
And Jen, was Highway 1 closed some of that time?
They have a new active policy in place that they close it for 24 hours when there is rain, but not a slide closure or of any sort. No significant length of time. Yeah.
Or maybe the fear of the closure, because I noticed just circling Rev Park, because I usually go to that, but it's all the coastal communities that were down, and inland wasn't. San Simeon down. But, we kind of trended both November and October down from the year before. I don't have an answer, if you have any answers besides.
No, I don't. And actually, usually November, December does pretty well here on the coast because Cambria Lights is really strong. Hearst Castle does their tours at night, which is all dressed up and lit. That does really well. So usually we see, you know, good, strong numbers in November, December. It just doesn't seem to be as high travel right now for some reason.
I think in my previous life as a hotelier, what always affected us was when Thanksgiving falls mm-hmm. very late in November and you only have the short window for travel and shopping, the
for
same
sure.
thing for retailers, you have a much shorter period for travel for folks. When you get those extra 5 days of travel, it has a huge impact on the business in the country, really, in the nation, because Thanksgiving is the launch point for that family holiday travel. And so when that window is shorter, your booking opportunities and your lodging opportunities and your retail opportunities are shorter. Macy's was down, Home Depot. I mean, if you look at it, we've followed that trend. So that's a really important window to watch. A year out, how many weeks are between Thanksgiving and Christmas? Because we lost a week. We lost 5 days of booking opportunities. You can't get that back. We're looking at what we did. Even if it rains, people will travel in that time to go see their family, as long as it's not, you know, a 1,000-year storm or something like that. But when that booking window, when that travel window is short, when that calendar window is short, that's where the biggest down, in my previous experience, that's where our biggest down push came from.
And even to add on to that, Joan, because I totally agree, is with it being late, it was literally days ahead of the Lighted Boat Parade. So we usually have a week between Thanksgiving and the Lighted Boat Parade, and we didn't have that, which is really strange. I mean, it was really, really odd. Yeah. Yeah.
Jen, I had a question about vacation rentals and tracking. Do they pay TOT the same way that the hotels do on that sheet that basically says?
They will,
says,
yeah.
So we should be able to track it, right?
We will, but STAR does not, so it's definitely going to be a challenge, a little bit of a challenge. I talked with Terry Ennis about it yesterday, and she was showing me her Airbnb booking, and she said Airbnb doesn't give them an opportunity to pay the taxes when the people book. So they have this very strange thing that they either have to figure out a way to charge the people for the tax or take it out of their money that they've already collected. So that'll probably eventually be changed with Airbnb, but they definitely have a little bit of a challenge that I didn't realize before. But
even if we could see just number of room nights sold would really help just to compare that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Airbnb would be smart to include that, because think about the cash flow and the interest on the cash flow by holding that for 6 months. That's pretty crazy.
But then they have to report to every city that they have. I mean, it's a big change for them.
Yeah, it's big. But I have a couple of things on TOT. I noted the same thing that Chris was noting is that, you know, and that Jennifer noted, that we were 3% down. I think a lot of it has to do with the timing of the holidays. But I also wanted to say that as a community member, I look at that and I'm like, oh, gosh, how can we make that up? How can we look at these trends that are happening? And I'm hoping that as soon as vacation rentals come on, we can finish working on adjusting a report that shows us not just this month's number compared to last year, this month's number, but actually set the trend out for us so that we can see where we're trending and what happened in those trends, and have these notes of short years, rain, Highway 1 closures, so that we can go back when we're doing our budget and address those issues for the following year so that we can have growth. Because down 3% is $4,600 in TOT to the community, which is the equivalent of having a set of firefighter boots running up to your hotel if there's an issue. And that's really important that we figure out a way to make that up. So.
Well, but also, Joan, if you look at the TOT report, VR tax collected is up. So if you look at October last year, it was $37,800 collected. This year was $42,100. So they have, even though ours is down, VR's is up. So
that's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah.
If we saw the trend for vacation rentals, the income going up and hotels down, mm-hmm. that might explain
for
a
sure.
lot too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so and how do we level that off for hotels? Because you guys are putting in a lot of effort here to, you know, get the community to get tourism driven to the community, to put pressure on the community for everyone to gain, and, you know, the retailers and the restaurateurs, and then me as a resident, Nancy as, we're just residents on this board, so, you know, the two of us as residents, we, you know, to have life be sustainable here, so, yeah.
Kind of piggyback on what Joan was saying is, when we look at just comparing 1 year to the year before, we never know if the year before was an abnormality, a super great weather year. It was extra high. So it would be nice to have a 3-year average, a 5-year average. I can talk with you guys on some of that stuff and how we trend in our business. Because I don't like seeing that our October, November, and I'm assuming our December appears to be trending down on the coastal community, not just us, all coastal communities. So that tells us from a marketing standpoint that maybe we need to concentrate some efforts on some events or ideas or marketing towards those months.
Okay, so, but keep in mind, just 2 years ago, we had the huge Highway 1 closure, huge, 18 months, and then the reopening, which bolstered numbers over. So what we've talked about before is you really have to look before that, and if you look before that and now, it's a continuous growth. That odd year in between is not really a stable year to look at. So
That'd be beautiful. That's why a little 5-year average or a trending chart would be fantastic. Those things, that would help.
There's some other factors that played into it, which are the new hotels that came on in Pismo and Paso and San Luis. And I think that you take a look at the at Pismo and Paso, when their rates are dropping, it has a lot to do with some new inventory in the market. They also did some push, Paso and Pismo and the North Coast, to drop rates. They were really being extremely competitive in these months with new inventory coming on. And so one of the things that I do is I'm looking, and I'm sure you all take a look at our competitors, not just locally, but regionally and, you know, in the state, and try to find out where are rates going. And it's always a game between occupancy and rate and trying to figure out your sweet spot as far as your rates go and your minimum length of stays go. And I know that we're always looking at Paso and Pismo and North Coast and San Diego and L.A. and wherever, trying to figure out how do we balance it to get it right. So it's been very challenging. It was a very challenging winter so far. So I think we held our own, but there is room for improvement.
Yeah, in October, occupancy was up, mm-hmm. but rate was down.
Yeah.
And I think that's not a good trend either. So,
no, and rates, you know, rates going down, I think a lot of it has to do sometimes with being scared. You know, and oh my gosh, look at what my neighbor's going to do. He's posted a super low rate. I'm going to have to get close to it or beat it. And that trend,
that's not good.
You know, drives us all down. So I always try to maintain rate as best I can. So,
and considering we have no new stock, we don't have any upgrades of stock. I mean, it's impressive that we're holding our own, really, when you look at our competitive sets. I mean, they've all had significant, beautiful new hotels, real high quality establishments being built and opened, and you know, we're doing pretty good, but I mean, we need new stock and we need upgrades, and it's the same, we've always talked about this, but we're doing it, but it's a little slower, you know.
Do we need to make a motion to receive and approve? Then I'm going to entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Calling for vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you so much. Moving on to B, business items. Approval of mental marketing reports for November.
So I'm just going to go over the marketing report a little bit for November, hit the highlights. The overall website traffic was up 11% year over year, despite some of the market factors that we were talking about earlier. The top view content was the holiday campaign, so that's driven by our ads and also events. So the holiday campaign, the page views were down year over year. So we're looking into how to leverage the current website's homepage a little better so you don't have to go to the drop-down menus to find the promotions. And the campaign launched November 1st. The page views for November were over 3,000. The hotel searches were over 5,500. And room nights booked from this campaign were over 300. Talking about PR and media relations, our estimated coverage for November, coverage views, pardon me, was 885,000. Publicity value was 13.9 million, and there was a lot of coverage overall in November, including quite a bit in Florida. So in St. Augustine, Destin, Palm Beach, Santa Rosa, Panama City, Crestview, and Walton all picked up stories about our lighted boat parade, which is pretty cool. And then I just want to touch a little bit on what we're doing for VR inclusion up until this point. Jen talked about the press release that we did in December. which focused on cracked open, sorry, which focused on getting Dungeness crab at home or on your vacation. So focusing on taking the fresh Dungeness crab to a vacation rental and having your meal there. That was kind of the focus of that one. And then talking about our Foodies Wanted campaign, which is our restaurant passport that we do every year. We took it digital this year, so that way people who are staying in vacation rentals can also access the offers and the deals. Makes it easier, so it's not just hotel stays.
Really, really quickly on that, I have heard from one hotelier that they were having problems with their seniors that were staying at the hotel because they don't have digital phones. But that was the only negative feedback that I got as far as the digital passport instead of a printed one. So if you guys hear anything, please let us know so we can kind of track that type of stuff.
I think cost-wise it makes sense. It is nice to have. It's a very good-looking. The passport's really cool, and it is neat to hand out to guests. I think it creates. But
we could always add it as a secondary. We're using the idea of a digital passport to really bolster our email campaign database as well, which is working. Mm. We're having a huge amount of downloads, which Megan will go through. But it's doing better than the hard passport.
So as a hotelier, should we be passing out something then? Or maybe you could produce something that says passport to savings or whatever, and go to www.
Yeah, we can do that for you.
That'd be kind of neat, something in your pretty stuff you put out.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And then our next visiting journalists, they're going to be on a baby moon, and we're excited about them because we'll place them in a vacation rental for their stay. And obviously, as you can see, they have quite a good an impressive list of previous clients that they've worked with. And so we're excited about all of the content that they're creating for us. There'll be photos and videos and blogs and all that kind of stuff.
This is a couple, and they're called the Newlyweds. And they're quite prolific if you look at them on social media. I mean, they're really, really well-followed. Visit California uses them. Lots of independent DMOs. So we're actually going to put them at Salty Sisters. The cost of bringing them is high. And Salty Sisters is going to give us the room stay for free, which is really nice. So that makes it affordable for us. But this will probably be our one big impact for VRs as far as visiting journalists for the year. So we want to really do it right. And we'll get them out to probably more than just that one VR so we can shoot them like sitting on a patio with a fireplace, like different type of opportunities. So it's pretty exciting deal for influencers coming in.
And again, it's more than a hopeful story. There'll be clear collateral that we'll get out of it, so that's kind of exciting. And then just talking a little bit more about the numbers so far for the Yum Factor Matters Foodies Wanted campaign. The passport is based on Eventbrite, which I believe all of you should be aware of at this point, and it's running January 2nd through February 29th. Up to date, the page views are 286, and most of that comes direct traffic from our website. The offers that have been downloaded are 359 to date, and the total signups are 62, which means that we captured 62 new emails to put into our database.
So she's reading you numbers that she's changed just from 2 days ago. So you can see it's growing much faster than the printed passports did.
And that's all I have for you. Any questions?
I'm going to entertain a motion to receive and file.
Public comment. Public comment, too.
I move that we receive the marketing report for file.
Accept. Second.
Calling a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you so much. Moving on to the California Welcome Center. Jennifer.
Hello. So yesterday I presented to the Visit SoCal Board of Directors the opportunity of, well, I didn't present, I'm sorry, I was there for a public comment, but Derek from their office presented the three different communities. It was us, Atascadero, and Pismo Beach. And the vote went to Pismo Beach to put it back in their old location. So the vote was 4 for Pismo, 2 for Morro Bay, and 1 for Atascadero. So I know that's disappointing. We're kind of hoping and very excited about it, but and we did I mean, we put a lot of work into this opportunity. And so since it is already on the board, I wanted to talk with all of you about the possibility of to continue moving forward with looking at the same location, the 575 Embarcadero, as our visitor center. And I just did quick little graphics on it. You know, could do some really great visuals on the windows and just visitor center. It's about 500 square feet. It would still be managed by Chamber because they are under contract with the city, but it would take financial input from TBID. So I'm not looking for a financial agreement from all of you at this point. All I'm looking for is if you think we should continue looking at the space. I feel strongly we should. And then it would need to go to the Chamber Board to see if they are open to also look at the location. I don't know why they wouldn't. And then from there, we would need to start working through the financial end of it. So just to quickly talk about the building, it was in your packet, but I'll just talk about it real quickly. This is where La Roche and Harborfront Suites both are. And between the two facilities, there's a very large public ADA walkway that goes down to a public overview and a public dock. And it's enormous. I mean, you could probably hold over 50 people out there. It's absolutely beautiful. Huge view of the rock. I mean, that's the view right from there, and you can't see in the photo, but there's actually an otter right there below the dock. So it's pretty cool little location. Great opportunity for people to really see Morro Bay and get them to stop and spend time here. What I like about this space is that it is on the south end of the Embarcadero. Let me see if I put the... Yeah, so it is on the south end. And, you know, we could have flagpole signs all the way down the Embarcadero pushing people down to that end of the Embarcadero. It's continually not busy. It's very slow. I know two of you have hotels at that end. You can probably elaborate more on that. But there's just not the walking traffic when you get past the aquarium shell shop. They just stop there and they don't continue going. So if we can help bolster that end of the Embarcadero, I think it would warrant it. It's got ample parking because it's not busy. So I mean, I think it would be a great location, and I'm curious to hear what all of you think about it as well. Let me see. I'll show you. There's the interior of the building. It's about a little over 500 square feet. So it does have enough room to have a nice station, some interactive signs. So what I had proposed for California Welcome Center was to do these wall-mounted signs with different topics for DMOs, and we could do those for dining or hotels or activities, and they would have a QR code so people didn't have to wait actually to speak with somebody. They could say, oh, I'm looking for a restaurant. They could grab that QR code and get the list of all our restaurants, or I need a place to stay, and they can grab the QR code and take them right to Jackrabbit to see who has rooms that night. So making it more probable that people could get other interactions without waiting for one person at the desk. So that's kind of a thought pattern on it. Do you guys like the idea?
Is there adequate space there, Jen, to house everybody who's being housed in your building now?
Absolutely not. This would be strictly the visitor center. When you come into 695 Harbor Street, that front desk, that technically is the visitor center, just that little area,
okay,
which is probably 200 square feet. And it's shared space with Chambers, so having it in a dedicated building, it would be much more impactful visually. I mean, we could do some really nice visual look for the, you know, kind of more inviting for a mm-hmm. visitor center. Great walking traffic as well.
How is that funded now?
So right now what happens is the City of Morro Bay contracts with the Chamber. They give them a $50,000 contract to run the visitor center, and that basically funds the employee that sits behind the desk as well as a management fee for contracting it. And so that would still stay in place, but the cost of the building right now is $1 a year for Chambers. So if we are asking them to look at a new location, to me it would be the responsibility of TBID to pick up that cost of it. So I still think we're looking at probably $35,000 to $45,000 a year to move that location to the waterfront. And it's not an unreasonable amount. It really is not when you look at it on a monthly basis, the amount of people that walk past that location.
Would your office be in there?
It would not, no. I would stay up the hill because I don't manage the visitor center.
Right, but I just see the pulse of people. It would be nice to have. Okay.
Yep.
I think the site is beautiful. It's much more compelling than the visitor center we have now. That's obvious, and that's not the chamber's fault. That's not knocking anyone. That's just we're at where we're at. So, but I would, as a board member, I don't know how you feel, but I would, as a board member, like to see the financials on it before it goes to the chamber and before we get down the road having further discussions, because if it comes out that it's too high for us to be able to do, then we've involved all these folks and kind of wasted their time. Not wasted their time, but used time that, I mean, they're volunteers too. The whole chamber board volunteers, except for their director. And so I don't know what you're thinking, but I would like to see us kind of be the clearinghouse to see if it's feasible for us first, and then have Jennifer put all the time of building the partnership and doing that. So I don't know. That's just me.
I think that's what Jennifer's already done. So I'm with you. I think that it's really important to get all the facts out first and get it figured out, get those numbers pounded out before we move on and waste time.
With the California Visitor Center, my budget was $50,000, and I'm assuming with just being our welcome center, it would probably be about $45,000 for us to pick up in there.
Jen, could you give me a little historical perspective? Wasn't the visitor center down on the Embarcadero previously? Why was it closed and why was it moved?
I'm going to let Joan answer that.
Excuse me?
I'm going to let Joan answer that because it was before I was part of Morro Bay and she was very involved in it.
It was on the Embarcadero.
It's also been in downtown.
And what were some of the issues?
Some of the issues were parking. It was in the boatyard. I almost said boathouse. In the boatyard building, where if you know where the Anderson Inn is, and if you know where Rose's is, it's in the middle of that block in between. And it was on the bay side, so it wasn't on the street side. There wasn't ADA compliant parking, and it was all street parking. So parking was an issue. It wasn't the main issue, or what is a main issue? But it was one of the list of things that were there. It was an expensive rent at the time, and the city was looking to reduce costs. So it was moved uptown, and when it was moved uptown, the costs of running it went from around, I think, and I'm guessing it was around $150,000, $160,000 down to about $100,000. So it was able to be reduced by about $50,000. And the city at the time, there were a bunch of surveys and all kinds of information done about creating a connectivity between the Embarcadero and downtown. And actually, when it was moved to the downtown location at Morro Bay Boulevard and Morro, across from the Ascot Inn, Morro Bay Boulevard and Morro, the visitorship went way up because it had a dedicated parking lot where people could just come in and get whatever information they were seeking, although it did not have a restroom. So here, you know, again, but it didn't have a restroom on the Embarcadero either that was dedicated to it. So it's, you know, we haven't had a perfect situation that I've ever known about. So,
thank you.
Jen, but this space is vacant now. It's available.
It is vacant now. It was the old paddleboard company.
The city doesn't own that building, do they?
No.
Do they own the land underneath?
Of course, because it's waterfront.
So it's a land lease?
Well, it's Title Lands Trust. It's not city.
Okay. I'd like to just see a flyer on it and the rate and
I'd be glad to send it to you.
Parking and parking ratio and everything.
Yeah. I would say that at the latest by next meeting, because the space is good and the rate seems fair.
So just
that
to,
it may not be here.
Yeah, and to add on, Chris actually has been involved in this. Chris, as a broker, he represented us and he met with the broker and got us the flyer, and we went through that part of it as well. So it's $3 a square foot, I think. Yeah, 550 square feet. I thought I had the flyer in here, but I don't.
Full clarification that I'm not working as a broker on that at all.
No.
I am a broker. I'm talking to him, but no financial compensation in this deal.
No. But we had two board members that were assigned to this, which was Chris and Amish. And so this, when it started with California Welcome Center. So Chris's part of it was helping us find a spot. So
I've got a question about the public bathroom.
Yes.
Will it be the responsibility of whoever the tenant is to maintain that public bathroom? Because I'm receiving some emails from some local folks who are complaining about the public bathrooms in Morro Bay, especially the ones down by the Rock. So I'm just curious if it would be our responsibility financially to maintain those as well, that bathroom.
So the bathroom is the sewer and water for the entire building. So that's also Harborfront Suites. The last tenant did pay that bill. I have received all of the copies of the bill from City Hall showing what it is per month since the adjustment. That was going to be one of my points on my LOI to the owners of the facility and ask them to cover water and sewer since it also includes the hotel rooms. And we would cover the maintenance, daily maintenance, cleaning, and supplies. That was what I'm going to go after. To me, that's fair. But
is there the opportunity to install a separate water meter? Because I was on the Blue Ribbon Commission for the water and sewer, and I can tell you that the rates for hotels are much, 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 much higher than they are for a retail entity. Retail is treated like office, whereas hotels are in the second highest tier. So although I don't know what vacation rentals are in, whether they're in residential or not, I'm not sure. So if we did this and had our own meter, I think it might be beneficial to us, although I'm not sure if that's possible now.
But wouldn't we just rather have them pay the bill?
Yes.
Yes. It's not that much money, Joan. I mean, I've looked at it. It's under $500. So, I mean, I would ask the landlord to do that part of it because it includes their three or four rooms that they have.
Chris, is this a triple net lease or full service?
No.
It's full service.
So I saw where maintenance on the bathroom or on the restroom in the budget that was submitted for the California Welcome Center was, and I could look right now, but I think it was about $1,000 a month maintenance on the bathrooms. Can you tell me about that service? Who's doing that? Is that a city staff service? Is that a outside contractor? How does that work?
So there was a few different line items. There was cleaning, and I put in $1,000 a month for cleaning because, again, this was just a proposal, and I have not bid this, but Chamber would hire somebody to come in and physically clean the bathroom, probably on a daily basis, especially during summer it would need to be done. Up at the top, I had utilities, trash, water, sewer, and I had just blanketed during summer months, $2,000 a month, and then $1,000 during winter. And this was before I received copies of the water and sewer bills from the city hall, so that it would actually be lower. Maintenance was just a general line item that's on there. Telephone, utilities, and supplies was separate as well.
Are you looking at the, what page would this be? It's not, the page number is not marked. The first, year one?
So year one, it has build out costs. I think you're better off because we were going to have to do a pretty extensive build out for Visit California.
Uh-huh.
The building is ready to go. I mean,
yeah, it's beautiful.
It's clean and ready to go. So if you look at year two through five, it's closer to where we would be. But again, this would need to be reworked correctly. Because I have the SoCal contribution in here. We've got higher salaries. All the admin went up because we were assuming a very large increase with it being a Visit California location. So I went back through the numbers, and I did not resubmit it because the packet was already online. But it is under $50,000 is my estimate for TBID to be involved and move it.
Okay.
What page are you guys on?
It's not page numbered. It's
it should be.
It's after page TBID 2020-0116, page 47 of 185, right after page 47 of 185.
It should be numbered.
These are not numbered. Do you have it? Oh, I'm sorry. 75 of 185.
Page 75.
It's mixed up in the line.
Okay,
well, no,
it.
They're overlaying, laying over each other, overlaying.
But I don't think we should go into financial discussion right now because mm-hmm. I need to resubmit this on a new agenda for Visitor Center. I'm just looking for if you guys agree we should keep moving forward with this.
Yes.
Don't move forward with it. I'm asking from a TBID standpoint, are you willing to put money towards Visitor Center location in conjunction with Chamber? Is basically because it basically that's what we were doing before when it was California Welcome Center. I think you're overthinking the whole getting into budget right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'd like to see it come back with the budget that you think would be right.
We're probably going to lose the opportunity then, is my I will bring a budget back, Joan. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I will bring a budget back.
So are we making a decision on spending $50,000?
No.
We're making
it. Forward with.
I'll make that motion in a moment, and essentially yeah. just saying that without endorsing it
right.
in any way right now,
right.
just that that it's worth your time to keep checking into it. One more item I'll do before that is you may want to speak to the broker, see if he would give us a contingency period. At no cost, because you could do this work and we come back and then, oh, sorry, it's gone. See if you give us the time. Let them know the seriousness of it. And with that being said, that I'll make a motion for staff to continue looking forward and investigating securing 575 Embarcadero for use as the visitor center.
Second.
Any other comment? Any other questions?
Yes. When it comes back to us, I'm assuming it would come back next month. When it comes back to us, I'd like to see a budget for it. But in addition to that budget, I'd like to see our full budget to see where we would be drawing off. Because I think that's important for us to look at, right? So we see the whole picture. And then I love you going back and talking to the other the broker, because if this goes through, the city would be such a steady income stream. It's not the risk of retail, it's the visitor center, which is a very, you know, great use. So, yeah.
Okay. I don't know that our full budget will be coming back next month. I will not be here for the February meeting, just so you're aware. And personally, I don't think this should come out of our current budget. I think this should be from the accumulation fund, would be my
do we have space in there,
the
do you think?
Yes. But
oh, okay, great.
We can't
discuss
cut into
it.
Our...
Yeah.
We can't cut into our current planning. I mean, we just, yeah.
I have a motion and a second on the floor. Calling a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Great. Thank you. Okay, we're going to be moving on to B3, Slow Marathon. Jennifer.
Okay, this is another broad thought discussion.
Yeah.
With a lot of info.
We need to do public comment on the California Welcome Center. I'm sorry, Charlie.
Circling back, we're going to open the floor to any public comment regarding the California Welcome Center or the Morro Bay Welcome Center. Seeing none, we're going to move on to B3. Jennifer.
Thank you. So Sam Pruitt is here today from Race Slow, and we'll bring her up, and we can ask her lots of questions. And this is kind of an interesting and exciting opportunity. So the city of Slow has decided to not continue with the Slow Marathon. It's a very long-established event that we, of course, would like to stay in our county for sure. And this falls into our strategic plan. Don't forget, our strategic plan was all about outdoor adventure and activity. So I think this is really fits well into what we want to do as a community. I've had several discussions with the county, with PASO, and with the unincorporated bid Highway 1 group with the concept of do we want to make this a multi-item unit that comes maybe 3 times a year like the SoCal Open is doing, or do we want to do one marathon that hits points of several destinations and just make it a one event? And so none of that has been decided. We don't know if the county would be involved or not financially. This is very, very early discussions. So what I want to hear from the board is, do you agree Slow Marathon is something that Morro Bay should be involved in? Staff feels very strongly that it should be. And so I want to hear from you. Sam put together a really good packet for you that you have that shows all of the financial impact for City of SLO. And some of it is from 2016, some of it's from 2018. So I think you guys should have her come up and ask her lots of questions, and let's hear what you guys think and where you would like to see it go.
Yes, thanks for having me. So I'm not sure exactly what they got in their packet because I sent you quite a bit
Everything.
Of stuff. Oh, wow. Okay. So just in brief, and then maybe we just have dialogue and conversation. But did you all get an opportunity to read sort of a summary of what this particular event looks like, the footprint and the general impact? Okay, awesome. So like we've discussed, there's a couple different opportunities here. One would be moving the race to this area, finishing in Morro Bay, so Morro Bay being the host location for the finish line, the festival, lodging opportunities primarily all happening in the Morro Bay because athletes want to stay at the finish line. We'd have to transport them to the start line. So just so you have a perspective, if it were a full marathon and we brought back the 26.2-mile race, we'd be starting in San Simeon, running down Highway 1, finishing here. If it were a half marathon, it would be more north of the Cambria area. So just to kind of have an idea of what other impacts would be, besides Morro Bay, what other cities would be impacted by a race of this nature. Similar to like Amgen Tour of California, and I was part of that project and have been for many years, it would be a rolling closure. So we'd be running one way down the highway, right? So the roads would be closed while the athletes were on it. Now, runners and walkers do go a lot slower than professional cyclists. So the closure would be a longer duration, but same concept, we would be opening up the road behind our last person. We'd had very strict time caps and things like that. So it wouldn't be an all-day situation, but for multiple hours, we would be closing and then opening as those athletes move closer to the finish line in Morro Bay. So we're looking at right now half marathon numbers, plus we have a 5K and we have a kids race. So we'd end up with about 3,000 people in 2021, and we generally get 2 to 2.5 additional spectators per person attending the event. So if you can think about it, you're looking at easily another 6,000 in spectators. So they do bring friends and family, which is awesome. They all buy hotel rooms. About 60% of our audience has always been from out of county, travels from all over the United States. And if we added the marathon distance back and really wanted to extend our reach again, that would have even a broader impact. We get more out-of-area athletes come for a longer distance race, as you can imagine. It would be a Boston qualifier race. It would be USA Track and Field certified, and it would have a lot additional national prestige on top of the half marathon. We do have to have a 3-year minimum agreement with our host venue to produce the race. It's incredibly expensive for us to produce this race. The budget is easily $250,000 on the low end to bring something of this scale. And we would be going through the entire process of new traffic control, certifying the course again, all of the things that are really required to create something at a high level that's nationally recognized. So that's kind of just sort of the big picture. I do want to open it up to questions and dialogue.
Hi, thank you. Samantha?
Yes, Samantha okay. Pruitt. Sorry, Samantha Pruitt. So I'm the founder and CEO of Race Slow, which is 13 years old. I've been producing races like this in Slow County for 13 years, and before that I've worked for a lot of other professional sports production companies, and including Amgen Tour of California. And I'm an athlete myself. I'm a big fan of Morro Bay and all the outdoor activities here. And I think that there's huge opportunity in this area, and particularly in this town, for being nationally recognized as an outdoor play space.
Super. In general, Samantha, do you get or can you expect more participants with a half marathon or a full?
So the half marathon distance is definitely larger. Uh-huh. The marathon numbers will be smaller for sure. So we did not produce the full marathon in San Luis Obispo last year because our numbers were a lot lower for the full than the half. And the additional expense we had with producing the full marathon within the Edna Valley and road closures and things of that nature, it didn't really warrant.
Okay.
But That said, we can definitely revisit that opportunity because it brings with it other things. Mm-hmm. It might not bring the same amount of revenue that a half brings, but it brings a much higher level exposure in terms of PR and really being recognized in the United States as one of the few marathons left, to be honest. It brings a lot of, I would say, sex appeal, but you know what I'm saying.
You could say that.
Yeah.
Are you flexible on the timing at all, or are you looking for a specific window?
Actually, we're quite flexible, so we definitely would be moving the date. Currently, it has been the last weekend in April. We'd actually like to move off that date. That was requested by the city of San Luis Obispo to be hosted on that event weekend every year for the last 8 years, going on 9 years. One is Big Sur Marathon is that same weekend. So moving away from the Big Sur Marathon is a really good idea for us. They're 2 hours north. Those are friends of mine. I'm actually running the race this year because we're not producing our own race. But we could be collaborating with a lot of other marathons and half marathons if we didn't compete with them. And then in terms of market availability, we'd want to really look strategically, when do we need to bring tourism to this area, right, in the off-season. I'm sure there's opportunity weekends, but we're definitely flexible.
But you are open to off-season
Absolutely.
Weekends as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Yeah, you bet. It has a big impact, so we'd want to make sure that we had the rooms available and that in terms of the community, we didn't impose any additional impacts like other events or anything that really was important to the community. We would not want to create an additional impact of this size on top of anything existing.
So, Samantha, am I correct in kind of summarizing what you said, see if I heard it right, is that the marathon may be less participants, but it's bringing people in from perhaps around the country.
Even around the world.
Okay, and around the world, and more PR and more press. Being that it's a weekend event, I view that as being quite a bit of value, bringing mm-hmm. people in that may now this becomes their vacation spot, and they're telling their friends and their cohorts.
Right.
And then the half marathon, larger, bigger impact, more immediate tourism right then, but maybe not the same long-term impact. Would that be?
That's not exactly right. So the athletes, the half marathon distance is just more popular, right? It requires less training, less commitment from people in general.
More but, locals?
No, we'll still end up with easily 60% out of market for a half marathon. So people do travel for that. It's just a little bit different, younger demographic. A little bit older on the marathon distance. So the demographic is just slightly different. I would say for the full marathon athletes, they're more competitive. So we could probably have a bigger elite field, possibly have some prize money. So a little bit, again, like that sex appeal element would be there. The numbers would be smaller. It'd probably end up being 600, 700, 800, maybe 1,000 on a good year as we progressively grow the marathon demand back, but the half will always be 2,000 and above, depending on what our permit allows, what the space allows, and really what the goals of the collaboration are. Yeah,
I was going to give you guys a couple thoughts on this. Talking with Paso and Highway 1 Discovery Route, you know, and we're actually meeting next Thursday as well, so I'm hoping we can come to an idea of what we like, so I can talk with them a little deeper about it, but a marathon of Morro Bay would have to go through several communities, right? It would have to. If we want to get SoCal money, there has to be more than one community involved. So that's Chuck's requirement. That's why the SoCal Open has given us, you know, money, because it's in Pismo and here. So I guess conceptually, is it better to do a marathon that goes through several communities? How would they really benefit if all the hotel rooms stay here? Or is it better to do 3 separate events throughout the year, maybe a fun run, a half marathon, a full marathon in 3 different locations, and ask SoCal to come in and support those as like SoCal Marathon Series or whatever you want to call it? A marathon just in Morro Bay, we'd probably be running in circles, right? Might not work so well. We'd have to go out of community. So keep all that in mind when you're going through this. We do have a half marathon, but it's on the beach. So this would be a totally different caliber because it'd be mm-hmm. road racing. It'd be more, I think, a higher quality race as far as participants. Do you agree that would come for a road race versus a beach race is more like it's a fun half marathon. So
yeah, this is much
more. Just giving
more
you more ideas. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to give you guys some more thoughts on it, okay?
I might piggyback on that, too, is that If it is sponsored by the city of Morro Bay, then in branding and naming rights and all that, there's exclusivity there. So versus a series, I'm not sure what the branding and so forth is going to look like and how it would align with your brand. Mm-hmm. And then there's the half marathon or the marathon. So you were referencing marathon, but we could do a half marathon distance or a full. Again, that's what are the goals, right? What are the long-term goals? So for us, this is a long-tail play. We've got almost 9 years, which really is 11 years in terms of producing, just in this particular race. So we have a lot already in the pipeline and invested in this brand and this event and our audience. Over 40,000 people are in our audience. So we have a very big footprint already. So when we move to a new community, we'd want to really say, what's the long-term vision? If it's in a series and this is part of a series, Morro Bay is part of a series, or is Morro Bay having this exclusivity element? It's a big investment.
Samantha, in a perfect world, what would you want? What would be your vision of the perfect marathon, half marathon, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just say if you could just plop it here, what would be your perfect?
Yeah, there's a lot of considerations, but if I didn't have to make all those considerations, economics and footprint and all of that kind of stuff, I think it's incredibly valuable to bring the marathon distance back and to bring it to the county of San Luis Obispo. So having the marathon in the full, having the full and the half and the 5K, that's an event weekend, which has a completely different look and feel, right? Because now we're really saying, which is a value system of ours and yours, that we welcome everybody, right? All capabilities, all levels, all ages, et cetera. We have two children's races. We have a 5K. You can walk the event. You don't have to just be a competitive runner. So you have the element of the competition and what that looks like and the amount of press it gets and, you know, the sex appeal element, but you also really have this amazing community event that draws people from all over to feel like they have a piece of that experience. And that's what we've created in San Luis Obispo with this race. The community really feels a sense of ownership around that race. It's their marathon. It's their half marathon. You know, there's a real connectedness. We have over 2,000 volunteers at that event. We have a lot of nonprofits. So there's all these other relationships besides the athlete that gets to experience that weekend and create a sense of pride attached to that event and that experience year after year. And we'd be creating the same thing here.
So I have just a couple of things. So when you say off-season, we discussed April because that's when SLO had theirs. How is running in the fall for folks? I mean, is that something that, I'm sorry, I walk,
Don't be sorry. But, see, there you go. That's a perfect example. And why wouldn't we want walkers at our event? We definitely
But I've
want.
Never involved myself in an actual race is what I was about
Not
to
yet.
Say. So I'm unfamiliar. So you're educating me, and your packet was quite considerable, and it was quite the education, so thank you.
You bet.
The fall, we were just talking earlier about November, but trying to bolster November. But there's, you know, obviously other off weekends. If a race series occurs, is it more likely to be attended in the spring or in the fall is a question that I have. And then in terms of a marathon, I just wanted to let the board know that there was a previous, and I am talking years ago, there was a gentleman who lived here. His name was John Lemons. He's passed now. He was a runner in the 70s, and he was on the chamber board. I believe he may have even been president of that and Rotary. And he tried for a number of years to get a marathon from the Castle Visitor Center down to the Rock. He thought that it would be this, and he was right, it would be like an incredible route, right?
Mm-hmm.
What an incredibly beautiful route, breathtaking. And he couldn't get Caltrans to go for it. They didn't want to close the road, and they didn't want to do rolling closures, and they said at the time that it was unsafe, although they've now allowed Amgen, so they have some experience under their belt now with it, right? So, but I could see where that would bring in other partners. I don't know if that's too far. I don't know anything about distance running. So I just wanted to let you know that it was pitched as an idea and that it is a breathtaking route. I love the idea of a full marathon, because I love what Chris brought up, made the point of bringing up the world travelers and the country folk, the people from all over the country coming in. and then from all over the state. On your information that you provided some pretty intense information on running in the United States of America.
Yeah.
When you have a marathon, did I hear you correct saying a marathon weekend with the marathon, the half marathon, and a 5K is about $250,000 for the weekend to produce?
A minimum. That's without the marathon, actually. So you're probably looking at about $300,000.
Okay, so it's about $300,000 with all three of these. And then I didn't see in your packet, do you have any national, are you affiliated, for example, Amgen was affiliated with, I think it was ESPN or something that produced and followed the race all the way through. Are you affiliated with any type of national syndication for sports to have this televised?
And road running really doesn't have that like professional cycling does. So Amgen, for example, is a professional cycling race. So marathons, even like New York, Boston, and all of that, of course they get some coverage, but it's a very different model we'd have to be purchasing. So that would take our marketing budget, of course, to a whole other region. There was a couple things I wanted to touch bases on. So in terms of the Highway 1 element that you spoke of, and there's also currently a little race that's being run, Castle to Coast, where they run in the bike lane from the castle, I believe, or somewhere up in that area down the bike lane, and they don't even close the road, which is, that's kind of fascinating to me. We would not ever do anything like that. So our road has to be closed. Traffic control is critical. Number one, safety is all is everything to us. It would be a USA track and field sanctioned event, so the course would be certified. So there's a lot of elements to that. That's how you become a Boston qualifier. That's how you become a nationally recognized race versus a race that a local group puts together, right? It's just a very different scale of event and what's required. So I wanted to speak to that for sure. In terms of producing something coming down Highway 1, that's a massive opportunity for us. You guys all know, have heard about the Big Sur Marathon, I'm sure. Yeah, so you cannot get into that. It's basically a lottery system. They have elites. They have prize money. It's a very high-level race. They're a couple hours north of us. And so we would be creating something for the Central Coast like that, right? We would be creating that same sort of prestigious, can't experience this anywhere else. You can't run down the coast on the East Coast. I mean, you know, to be able to have that kind of experience, for sure, we're going to get a lot of attention, which is great. They have 10,000 people in their race, and they sell out every year, and there's a waiting list. So they have 10,000 people over the course of their weekend, and it's going to be interesting. They shuttle bus the athletes. They do a lot of the similar things that we would have to do. So I'm going to the race this year to have my own experience with them. But I know those people. It's put on by a local nonprofit. They're amazing people. And so we would be creating something of that nature, of that scale. We don't have to go that big if that's something we feel we couldn't host or we don't want to. We have those controls and constraints, right? We could say our race only allows however many thousand in, whatever we decide on, and we would create yet that additional sense of demand and prestige, if you will, for, you know, getting into the race.
So other sponsors? So mm-hmm. I saw, you know, your packet, you had a lot of sponsors.
Yeah, we have to have other
sponsors.
That's slow
when you got tons of other sponsors in there. Mm-hmm. So what yeah. you're saying to us then, I just want to be clear, is that if we did this, and I'm hearing Jennifer's words too in the back of my mind, if we as a community did this and we were the sole lead community sponsors, then it would be just about Morro Bay branding. If
That's
we
correct.
Partnered somehow, mm-hmm. which
with sister communities
with
or
sister communities,
the county,
then it would be some other way of branding that as a group. It would be group branding.
But yeah, you would be the presenting sponsor. That's basically the initial package I put together for you, and then we started talking about the series concept because it's a big investment. And it's a long-term investment. It bears a lot of fruit. And as you can see, the economic impact is substantial. And it continues to have a legacy in terms of its impact. We can do events during the year for training and other events to bring people here throughout the year. Because we do marketing 12 months out of the year. We never stop marketing the event. So there's a lot of longevity to the campaign and to the messaging and to the branding and the presenting sponsorship. That's, you know, the highest level.
I've been to the Big Sur Marathon.
Oh, cool.
And forgive me if I'm asking a silly question here, but don't they offer the full marathon and the half on the same day?
They do. Mm-hmm.
So if we offered a full marathon, couldn't we offer the half as well on the same day? Or is that
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't it bring even more people?
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it was exclusive one or the other. We, without a doubt, we should do the half. That's a given. The question is, should we try and bring back the marathon? There is a demand. There's no marathon on the Central Coast except for Big Sur. So Santa Barbara is out of business. I mean, honestly, there aren't any.
If we did
the
full marathon, it would bring even more people than the half.
Yeah.
I wasn't, okay.
Yeah, we should definitely consider.
But all the expense would lie on Morro Bay if it's just us.
But you can't. It can't just be Morro Bay if you're doing a full marathon, correct?
I don't think so.
Well, so we could do just the full and not the half. We would just get smaller numbers. And the request from Morro Bay would be smaller.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
I mean, there's other ways to think about it. You could do, since Sam is looking for a three-year commitment, if there's three designated communities and we're looking at a half, a full, and a fun run, maybe each year those three rotate what's in their community, which also might be interesting to a racer because they might have the marathon in Paso, and then next year it's based out of Morro Bay, and then it's based out of San Simeon. I don't know. I mean, or is it better to just have always the marathon based out of?
Yeah, so that first model is not effective, mostly because it's cost prohibitive. Mm. It's incredibly expensive. And then actually, athletes love to come back the same race. Oh, no, so we have legacy athletes. We have hundreds of legacy athletes who have run our race since day one who are brokenhearted, frankly, that it's not happening, right? So you build this relationship with your customers, and they love to come back and see if they can run it faster or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we, you know, we give them perks and VIP packages and stuff like that. So it is cool to, like, continuously run the same space, but economically also makes sense.
And then, you know, my gut says, even I know Sam has a really strong database, and we could make it like Morro Bay Marathon or whatever we wanted to, but stepping away from that race slow name will take time to rebuild. So if even if she's sending out her full database, you know, it is a different location. It is new, and it's not race slow. It's different. So we would probably lose some people. I mean, not everybody's going to come to a new location. Where if it's still race slow, if it's race slow Cal, you know, and there's three different events, I think that has better legs to me from a branding standpoint because they know race slow. They know the race, you know, and it's still in the county. And
so Race Slow is our company brand, just for clarity, whereas the race is currently called Slow Marathon, Slow Half Marathon.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
So Race Slow is your brand.
That's right.
So
that's
it would be slow,
the umbrella brand.
So when you, and I don't know because I didn't receive the marketing, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
When you marketed the San Luis Obispo Marathon under Race Slow, the name, whatever it was, San Luis Obispo Marathon, is that branded by them? Do they own that?
I own all of it.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
So we are a LLC, professional sports production company. We're not a nonprofit. This is what we do for a living professionally. And so I have all the branding. And the reason that Race Slow is the umbrella brand is we actually produce other events as well and have historically produced quite a few. So Slow Mountain Bike Race, Slow Grand Fondo, Slow Ultra, Slow Marathon.
So as a refresher,
all the things.
As a refresher to us, when you say a three-year commitment from the community, and I saw in Jennifer's overview, it said that there would be a financial commitment from TBID, and then there would be in-kind work like there was with Amgen for the city of city staff, I'm assuming, or the city overall. Was that packet, put together with just the half marathon in mind and the rotation, or was that or was that put in mind with the whole packet with the marathon, the half marathon, and the all happening in one weekend? Is that just a general number?
And that's the proposal I put together. And that does not include the full marathon at this point. But half marathon, 5K, kids races, event weekend, and then we can determine best needs on, you know, your community. You know better what we're trying to accomplish. But really, do we bring a big festival as well? That's an opportunity. We usually have a big festival with other things going on free to the community, but so our athletes have something else to do. Or do we really just try and showcase the city of Morro Bay and drive most of the foot traffic around town? I mean, there's a lot of different plays that we can have.
I have a question.
You bet.
So October, November, December is pretty slow for us. Would we be able, do you think it would be viable to shoot, to do it in those months? Is there an appeal to run a marathon in winter?
So I would say weather is definitely going to be something we need to look at. October would be off the table for us because we produce another event in October in Arroyo Grande, the Slow Ultra and the Slow County Ultra Games, which is a CrossFit competition. But November we're totally open to. December I think is going to be a hard sell for athletes. You know, they're focused on their family stuff and they're spending money on that. But definitely there's opportunities in late May. I think we saw one weekend in June that had very low numbers, first weekend in June. So we were looking for, like, gaps or windows where there were dips because people were going back to school or whatever. Your normal visitors were peeling off and doing other things, and we could bring in a fresh audience. But November is definitely a possibility.
I can see that the L.A. Marathon is March, Big Sur is April, San Diego is May, mm-hmm. San Francisco is July. Mm-hmm. So
June's got a hole.
June has a hole. And
June would be nice if it was the very first weekend to kind of jumpstart our summer, which I like.
Not to be contrarian, but yeah. We have something unique in that I've only been here 3 Novembers.
But and the weather's great.
I found November's been the best weather of the year consistently.
Yeah.
And if we could bring people in that time of year and they see how beautiful it is in November when they came from Chicago and it's snowing,
right.
We might win a lifetime tourist. So
right,
I like that time period.
Yeah, the biggest thing you don't really want to have for road running races and road cycling is the same type of beast is rain is really a problem. It's a bad
November,
experience for the athletes.
Yeah. First weekend of November is triathlon, so they own that weekend. First November is triathlon.
First weekend in November
weekend
is your triathlon currently.
Yeah, the first week of June, the school district, I don't know if anyone's aware of this, has shifted their schedule now going out, and they've shifted to the end of school is the first week of June now. It's 10 days earlier. And so that's Morro Bay High School graduation weekend now. So just keep that in mind.
First weekend in June?
First weekend in June is, yeah. Just FYI for everyone.
This is not a tourism-based input, but talking with Big Sur and other marathons, some of these communities, and we've done this in San Luis Obispo, have created also these great community-oriented programs. It's not about heads and beds, but like, for example, Big Sur brings in 4,000 kids to run a kids race.
Awesome.
Now, it's hard to get to Big Sur. I mean, it's not, you know, people are really driving and traveling quite a bit to get to these to this experience. But you can splinter off other programs if there is a need or a desire that are, and so you'd want to look at the date too, is like, is that something that's important to us or something we should put into consideration?
Well, yep.
Go ahead.
For me, I like the idea of adding in the full marathon and really making this a complete package. I know it might be tougher on, I guess we would need more information to come back to us before we make that decision, but one of the things that's appealing to me is that with a full marathon, it gets picked up by national press. It's got all these international people. If they finish well, that's going to be picked up in their press. When we get to the Boston Marathon and the guy is running by, smiling, we hope, that he's not fatigued yet, and the cameras are following him, they could say, oh, he qualified in Morro Bay, California. I mean, I just feel like there's this whole, I don't know if they do those things because, to be honest with you, I always look and I'm like, wow, that guy finished the marathon in Boston, but I didn't follow the race, so I don't know.
Yeah, and from a marketing perspective, we spend a lot of our budget on marketing, bringing in influencers and personalities who are running marathons. It's very different than who you'd get to come run a half marathon in terms of their social following and their connections with brands and all of that kind of stuff. The marathon brings a different relationship for sure.
Have you gotten feedback from any other coastal communities in terms of their interest level or timing?
Absolutely, yeah. Paso Robles is very interested, and they're going to get back to me by the end of this month.
What about coastal communities?
So I've had a very short conversation with Cambria, basically just an awareness, like we're considering doing this. I'm talking to Morro Bay, but nothing beyond that.
Okay. Up north, we do a 10K on the wharf to wharf, but it gets 20,000 participants.
Yeah.
Starts in Santa Cruz, finishes in Capitola. A ton of people stay where it starts. A ton of people stay where it finishes.
Mm-hmm.
It's called wharf to wharf, so it really doesn't designate one city or geographic area.
Right.
Everybody benefits.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems if we could team up with somebody and split the cost of this, it'd be a win-win. Yeah,
yeah. And we can communicate whatever messaging we see fit, right? We control all of that. So if we say we're going to shuttle people to the start line on these buses, and it's going to take 45 minutes or an hour. So for me, at Big Sur, it's going to take over an hour on a school bus to just to get to the start line, right? So if we communicate to our audience that we have so many seats on the bus, and then some of you can park at the start line, but we'd have to control that messaging, and we'd have to make sure there was parking and all of that kind of stuff, which I would assume some of those cities would be interested in. And then additionally beyond that is you guys don't have enough hotel rooms, to be honest. So it's going to split.
Right.
Even in San Luis Obispo, right, we take every hotel room and then all the surrounding city's hotel rooms. So we're really talking about the whole Central Coast again. It's a big event.
What was the reason that you weren't able to redo it in San Luis Obispo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reasoning is because we were looking to leave our venue. Costs are pretty expensive in producing this race in San Luis Obispo, which is fine. We were accustomed to that. But when we lost our venue, so Madonna Inn did not renew our commitment to stay there. That was always our start-finish line. I went to the city, started a dialogue around where could we move, because it's a big event. So, of course, all the considerations had to be made. And they only had two possibilities for us. One didn't work at all, Laguna Lake. There's not enough parking. You can't get in and out of that. We would have completely landlocked the city. And then the second location was Damon Garcia Sports Field, some of you might be familiar with. That's actually a great venue for us, and we secured parking and so forth. But they were not able to give us a multi-year commitment. They would give us 1 year, and we can't produce a race of this scale for 1 year. Too risky.
It sounds like we're in agreement that we like the concept.
Okay.
And I think
great.
At this point, what we will want is a motion from our board to request it.
Public comment.
Or we'll do public comment as well, seeing none.
It
still have to give the opportunity, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I think that we're all in agreement that this is something that we want you to continue to investigate and bring back to us. I, for one, feel that the full marathon should be brought back. And I think that a multi-city approach like a San Simeon, Cambria,
So just one marathon, multi-cities.
And a half marathon.
And
multi-cities.
Yeah, just
and that's, that's just my thought.
A Morro Bay, a presented by Morro Bay event. Is that
or presented by San Luis Obispo,
yeah.
Visit SoCal. I think we're going to need Visit SoCal to assist us financially with that.
Yeah, I think we're going to need Jennifer to come back to us with a plan. Jennifer, are we framing it right for you, though?
Kind of.
Tell us what you're looking for.
My recommendation, where is it, is for staff to continue forward with research into having either a Highway 1 marathon or be part of a SoCal series in Morro Bay in 2021. Or maybe you can change it however you want, but just it's a very broad, just keep it
right, keep forward. It broad, keep it open so that you can do all the research on it.
Well, we have till 2021. But you want to get on this as soon as possible.
That's when we would produce the race. So to be clear, we would start working on production
now.
In the next 60 days. Okay. I mean, it's literally something that takes that long. Yeah.
Item two on that, have you laid it out? Can you get from the San Simeon parking lot to the Rock in your miles?
Yeah, that'd in a marathon distance.
In a marathon. That'd be an incredible race.
Yeah,
and you have
phenomenal
parking. You have space at both areas, just for staging space, I would assume.
It's state property, though. That might be a little complicated. But we can.
Well, where were you thinking of having a finish line here in Morro Bay?
So currently they do the Miracle for Miles in there, so I'm not sure what that agreement might look like. But the Miracle for Miles 10K. Utilizes
the Rock,
that,
are you
the parking lot.
The parking lot,
specifically
the Rock.
The parking lot.
That makes sense.
And we can do that.
Be
great.
Yeah.
And we do have a Rock to Pier Run, as I mentioned
right.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
Where are you talking about in San Simeon is the takeoff point, curiosity.
To be determined, and I did not want to go knocking on those doors and start conversations that were not appropriate.
Okay. And honestly, I think we need to get past on the mix. They have the financial ability to do it more than just Highway 1.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to find a way to get them involved, whether it's coming down the 46, or something.
That's a tough
race.
That's you got to have some legs
tough,
for that.
But I think we need. I don't know. Somehow we need.
And that might be part of like that series conversation. Yeah. And I don't know, I believe it's clear in here, but just in case it's not, the support level can be part cash, part in-kind. I think you mentioned that earlier. So the in-kind element is obviously it requires a lot, like Amgen did, police, traffic control, services like that, that generally cost us a great deal of money. So depending on your financial situation, we're really talking about a combination of those two things, city services and support, and then the sister cities coming in. And then some cash.
Okay. So, alrighty. Well, then.
I'll make a motion.
You want a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we recommend that staff continues forward with research into having marathon, half marathon, and associated activities, either partnering with SoCal or going on our own. For Morro Bay's involvement in 2021.
Okay, thank you.
Excited. I'll second.
Calling a vote. All in
Aye.
Favor?
Aye.
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 Samantha, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any declaration of any future agenda items from the staff or from the board?
I know we brought it up, Charlie, in a past meeting, but I'd still like to have staff research and give a report on water rates. And I know Joan talked about it a little bit, just so we can understand it and why hotels are paying such a high tier. It's a cost of doing business in Morro Bay, and it's unlike a lot of other communities. So
yes, and I have talked with Scott Collins about that. He's aware of your request. So that would not it would not be my staff report. It would come from him or Scott Graham. But I'll remind him one more time. For sure. Hi, Red.
Yeah, I spoke to Scott this morning, and he said to tell you that he will come to the February TBID meeting to talk about the rates.
Thank you, Red.
Morro Bay, the Art Center of Morro Bay, is going to be producing a plein air festival in April. And this will be April 13th through the 16th, and we're reviving something in Morro Bay, which I think is very exciting. The Inn at Morro Bay will be a sponsor, as will the City of Morro Bay, TBID, and we have, we're bringing in a German plein air painter, Guido Frick, who is an amazing gentleman to be doing classes, as well as will be doing juried plein air painting, judging, and an auction on the 16th. All the benefits go to the Art Center Morro Bay. So I wanted to bring that up. Also, the end of this month, on the 30th, there is a fundraiser. And it is a speaking event that is going to be on the 30th at the Inn at Morro Bay, benefiting the Morro Bay Maritime Museum. Captain Barbas is a Maersk captain, and he has lots of stories about transporting billions of dollars worth of goods. Is also some pirate stories, so that's going to be a pretty exciting event. We've also, Jen, I know you have been approached by the vessel, the Santa Maria, coming from Spain. They have approached the city as well as the Maritime Museum with the opportunity to host them here in the city. And I just wanted to say that is something that's ongoing and is a possibility in May or early June to bring the Santa Maria in for tours. So that's pretty.
Don't you have a new boat that just got restored? That's
we have a boat that is almost done. It is the 1930s Spindrift, which is from the Bevilacqua family. It is almost done. It is gorgeous, and it will be moved, should be moved by first part of February to its new home at the museum. So very exciting. So that's all I have.
I heard a rumor that this might be Charlie's last meeting, so if it is, we just wanted to thank him for his service and for all of his you know, efforts as the chair. You've done a great job. Good job, Charlie.
My pleasure.
Huzzah.
Yeah.
Yay. Thank you.
And with that, I'm going to call this meeting adjourned at 10:31. Thank you all.
Thank you.